The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, at a time when things seem so bleak and uncertain, Texas Governor Rick Perry shares his hope for the nation's future.
I happen to think that our greatest days are ahead of us.
I believe that.
I think in America that from time to time we have to go through some difficult time to bring us back to those biblical principles.
Our fight to save America, next.
Thank all of you. This is a real special occasion. I'm James Robinson. I welcome you to Life Today. I've got a very good friend, and I want to say a prayer partner, someone that has impressed me as much with just calling out of the, seemingly just out of the blue to say, James, I'd like you to pray with me. And I want to pray for our country, for our president, for our leaders. And we've prayed together, and we've prayed for you. Governor Rick Perry is our guest today, and would you welcome Governor Perry?
I'm glad to be here.
You know,
good to be with you, brother.
We just ran up here to see you. Betty wasn't able to get here to this little quick exchange while you're on your journey, but I want to go ahead and just say something.
Love.
I like your book,
Fed Up.
Our Fight to Save America from Washington.
Yeah.
I really agree with that, but let me pick
up on
something.
If I had you helping me, I would have had a different title. I would have called it Fed Up But Looking Up.
Well, that would have been all right.
that was very appropriate.
That's
then,
really the case.
Because it truly is.
You know, you called me on your cell phone. You didn't know if you'd have cell service. You said, I'm kind of amazed. I'm out here on a creek, and I happen to know where that creek is in Austin. But you said, I'm out here where I don't think many people come at all, and I'm by myself. And you just called and said, I just wanted to ask you to pray for our country and just join me. And we had a wonderful prayer meeting. I was impressed that that you weren't campaigning. You weren't trying to get a vote. You really wanted God to give counsel to our leaders and our nation.
Yes, sir.
And I know you're still seeking that. I actually communicated with you after your inaugural prayer breakfast. And I told you that I thought you gave one of the most Christ-honoring, God-centered speeches I've ever heard, and it just came out of your heart. So our viewers, they're not the least bit interested in getting in an argument about partisanship. I've tried to get them to lay down their sectarian divide and all their denominational prejudices just to let God be God and love each other like a family. So I'm telling you that our viewers, they want to know how to pray. What would you say if you just looked out at our Christian audience and they were sitting around here, which they are in their homes, wherever? How do we pray for our country right now?
I tell people, I said, listen, God knows what your needs are. And you may not name every name or may not even name every name right, but He knows what the burdens are. And I just pray for God to lift up those who are in need, who are hurting. Obviously, I ask Him for His angels to come and keep my family safe and those that are special to me. And I pray for our president every day. I pray for his wisdom. I think it's so important for our country and the world to pray for this president. And whoever that individual is going to be, who's the next president, or for that matter, the next governor. To really lift up, Romans 13 tells us that we're supposed to lift up all of those that are in authority and ask for their wisdom. So, I couldn't do what I do without people who lift me up in prayer every day, starting with my good, faithful Christian mama.
Well, I have said to our viewers, and I've written quite a lot about it, that our big mistake today is looking to government as though it is God.
Oh, yeah.
As though it is all provident, that it is the one who's going to take care of us. And it's actually a little bit reminiscent of what happened to Israel when they found themselves literally sold into bondage to Pharaoh because they were facing some challenges. And it looks to me like when we get in trouble, government just gets bigger. And it never really solves the problem because you can't separate us from the compassion connection of hands-on involvement. And we're really looking to the wrong source. Yeah.
And James, our founding fathers recognized that. They knew that government, because they'd seen it firsthand with that very far away authoritarian type of government that was coming out of England in the mid-1700s. And as they wrote that Constitution, they very clearly understood that government, as a matter of fact, they wanted their federal government to be rather limited.
Very limited.
For the states to have the real authority and the real power, because that was the people. As I see what's going on the world today, I'm amazed at their vision, how prescient they were about humankind and our failings as human beings, that when you are given power, that it takes a really special person not to abuse it. And keeping that authority pushed back to the states, which were closer to the people, was the model that our founding fathers had for our country. And my, they were so right. It's what
I'm gonna read about in the book. I'm gonna read out of your book a couple of things here. The founders understood controlled government. We have allowed government to control us instead of controlling the government ourselves. And the American people, you say, are disturbed about that. Here's a very important statement. I want you to pick up on it after I read what you said here in the book. For too long, the silent majority has sat idly by, allowing the political establishments to wage an assault, not just on the Constitution and the fundamental American principle of limited government, but on the very idea that it is a government closest to the people that best guarantees the blessings of liberty. They're actually assaulting that idea. Yeah. And no one can manage our affairs as well as the ones closest to them. And no one can demand and require accountability and know that things are being done right. Yeah. And we're far from that. First, there are those who believe in the primacy of the government over the individual, referred to so often as progressives or statists. I don't care what descriptor you use, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether they're well-intentioned or ill, whether they deny it or not. They simply do not believe in those things that have made our nation the greatest in the history of the world. They don't believe what you say you believe. The statists believe in a powerful, activist central government that advances a radical secular agenda in the name of compassion. They call these real social justice issues, right, and they're actual social injustice. Because when you attack those who could create opportunity and jobs and right, even wealth, the only way you right, can deal with poverty is to have some potential to deal with right, it. And that means the creativity of opportunity right, and possibilities in the future. They hide behind the misguided notions of empathy and push token talking points about fighting for the little guy, all the while empowering the federal government to coercively and blatantly undermine state, local, and self-governments. Now, they're pretty strong statements.
Well, it
I
is,
agree with you.
But I find nothing in there that is not spot on. And from the standpoint, I would challenge anyone to find that different. Government that continues to tell you, we'll take care of all of your needs. You just allow us to control your life. By the way, we're going to take a good bit of what you earn and bring it into office and decide best how to distribute that back. Or, in too many cases, keep people in poverty. I mean, keep people in programs where the only way that they see the food on the table tomorrow is that government will take care of them. And now we're in the third and fourth generation of people who have lost their drive to, that don't understand the principles of free market concepts. I mean, that's what I fear, is that we're approaching this time and free market capitalism is so invigorating. I mean, it is so such a beautiful thing for people to take care of themselves, to take care of their family, to know that that piece of property belongs to me. The power of private property, and that's the reason I get so passionate about our founding fathers, their vision, well, I won't use the word defensive, but I'm just as passionate against those who want to go tell the story that, hey, listen, we can take better care of you than you can take care of yourself. Now, should government be there to defend us against foreign powers that would come in and to do harm to our citizens? Absolutely. Are they there to do treaties and to have all of the things that you want your government to do? But our government over the course of the last 100 years in particular, matter of fact, as I write in the book, to me, it kind of the real journey away from our founding fathers' vision started when they passed the 16th Amendment that allowed for the income tax to be collected in Washington to really get their hands onto the huge amounts of wealth that is created in this free market society that we were that we created. And when we just need to get back to some very simple principles of that government doesn't have all the answers, that government needs to be limited. You know, the 10th Amendment says that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution are prohibited by it or given to the states. Those powers are delegated to the states or to the people. I mean, it's really pretty simple. And I believe in the Federalist 45, and Madison talks about that the powers in the Constitution are very limited and few, but the powers given to the states are unlimited and many. And so hopefully Americans are standing up and saying, hey, listen, we can't afford that much government. We just can't afford that much intrusion in our lives. Let's push back. Let's have a little trim down government.
We are creating a class warfare that says hate the people that produce opportunity. If people sitting at home think we're going to get government to provide opportunity while they literally emasculate and destroy the possibilities of the entrepreneur and the capitalist, which has now become a bad word, sad, and socialist has become the great word, and government the answer, all of this is very disturbing to me. So when I read about our governor being concerned about an out-of-control Washington and people that are being literally continually fed the propaganda that the enemy are the producers or the people that have wealth, they may misuse it. You know what I say to our viewers? Don't blame the fertile field of opportunity for any abuse by any farmer. You see, the farmer may need to have some changes and adjustment in his attitude and compassion and be delivered from greed. That's the message of the church. That's what we ought to preach. The government can't heal that. They can't replace it, and they are diminishing opportunity. So am I on track with where you're coming from?
You're spot on, brother.
To me, when people start praying, they need to pray for us to return to sensibility and to our senses so we can get back to the sound foundation that our founders really under God's direction and a Judeo-Christian ethic and biblical principles, they gave us a solid footing. Yeah. And I see us moving over to where we're trying to walk on quicksand. I mean, it's horrible. I talked about New Orleans and what a tragedy they had. They violated several principles. Jesus said, build on a rock. Well, they built on sand below sea level. Now, they violated a couple of principles, and the real problem was when the dike came down and the storm did its ultimate damage. I have pointed out to our viewers that real wall of protection are the praying people, the church, the people of faith, who will keep pointing to God instead of to some other source. And then free people to do the things free people can do.
There's so much wisdom.
Excuse me for preaching.
I've been listening to you for years, brother.
You don't even have to add water.
I'll just say amen. I'm reading a little book. John Quincy Adams wrote some letters to his son about reading the Bible and about the wisdom that's in the Bible. My friend George W. Bush, he read his Bible every day. And to find those pieces of wisdom to guide. I think we're in a time of great revival in this world.
I think it's an awakening.
I know there's a lot of concern. There's we've got this economic recession that's going on. You've got all of these, the Middle East is in turmoil. I mean, you turn TV on and you really get concerned about what you're seeing. I happen to think that our greatest days are ahead of us.
I believe that.
I think in America that from time to time we have to go through some difficult times, and I think we're going through those difficult economic times for a purpose, and that to bring us back to those biblical principles of you know, you don't spend all the money. You work hard for those 6 years, and you put up that seventh year in the warehouse to take you through the hard times, and not spending all of our money, not asking for Pharaoh to give everything to everybody and to take care of folks, because at the end of the day, it's slavery. And we become slaves to government. And
I'm praying that the pressure drives us to God, not government. We have a local school district, the Hurst Euless Bedford, HEB district. I know they'd be glad for you mentioned that Trinity, you know, been really a football power, you know, for quite a while. And so HEB, we're located in the Euless area, Hurst Euless Bedford. Our school superintendent, and his name is a little bit difficult too. It's Buinger. Dr. Gene Buinger, and the teachers saw the challenging times. They began to cut costs. He keeps his office in the dark. They turn the lights off every time they go out of a room. They drill their own well to water the athletic facilities. And they ask everybody who used refrigeration and things at the school for their meals and stuff to pay for the electricity. Well, when we've had to cut back and we've had budget challenges, they're all right because they thought ahead. And they're in the top three in the highest salary, but they're prepared. To me, this is what I see pressure driving us to make sound decisions.
Yes, sir.
And we've got a school district here and a superintendent and teachers that did what I believe America needs to do when we face challenges. I want what we feel to drive us to our knees and help us look up to God and turn people loose in freedom to be the productive citizens that they can be.
Amen.
And I sense that's what you're
talking
about.
Freedom and liberty is what makes America the great country that it is. And every time, through whatever way, that a freedom is taken away, whether it's by their money that's taken away in the form of taxation or another regulation that takes a freedom, or whether it's a frivolous lawsuit that, again, or for that matter, a failing school where a young person doesn't get to meet their full potential because the school's failed for whatever reason that might be. That's the warning call for us, is that anything that takes freedom away, we need to be very cautious about.
Absolutely.
To clearly, and I tell people, I said, listen, we're not perfect in Austin, Texas. I rail against Washington, D.C. and their unfunded mandates or coming in here and trying to tell us how to run our clean air permitting process or how to educate our children or, you know, this last huge program, the health care bill, how to deliver health care. And for the life of me, I can't find that in the Constitution. I don't think that is a federal responsibility. It should belong to the states. But at the same time, the state of Texas can't do that to the local school boards or to the local cities or to the local counties. To even though it may be a really good sounding idea, Brother James, that we come in and say, oh, we want you to do X, y'all pay for it.
You've got to make the wrong decisions.
You've got to allow the people at the local level. I mean, and I talked about this in the book, Fed Up, when the government that's closest to the people
Absolutely.
Is the government that governs
Absolutely.
Best.
Absolutely. Well, let me just say that we're going to be praying for you,
thank you.
And for our great state.
I know
state.
You will.
Our viewers, would you like to say thanks to Governor Perry for your
thank you.
And we're people all over the world, people down under praying, people in the UK, people all over America, up in Canada praying for us. We are right now, because of the love of God in our viewers, we're feeding 500,000 little children that in so many instances won't even live if we don't help them. I want you to listen, and Governor, you'll appreciate this. Listen to a missionary talking about his little son and a little child and what's happening on his continent that he loves. I believe you're going to hear the heart of God. Just listen closely.
My dream is that I can travel around my continent, the continent of Africa, and not see children dying anymore. These children are reaching out to us. They're counting on us. They're relying on us. My little boy, he reaches out and grabs my face the same way. He looks at me with different eyes, though, because when he grabs my face, there's a look of life in his eyes. There's an expectation and an anticipation of what life's going to be, of everything that he can be. You see it, you sense it, you feel it. When Augusto reaches out to me, what I see is a hand that says, please, just do something. I'm asking you to give Augusto the opportunity that my little Peter has. At 11 months old, to be a child that is not suffering the battle of life and death simply because they were born in the wrong place at the wrong time. Please, you can do it. I know you can, and I'm asking you from the bottom of my heart. Help us save this life and help us save the tens of thousands of lives that Augusto represents. Because life begins here. Life begins with mission feeding.
Well, I know, Isak, you're overseeing with your dad, Peter Pretorius, the work there. But I well remember when you came right here to the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, and I looked out at you as a young man, a rugby player, likely to be a professional athlete in your home country of South Africa. And I said, you're a very special young man. And you can deliver God's message and God's love. And boy, have you ever, because you left everything to love the people on your continent in Africa. And you love your little boy and your daughter and your family. You want to stop burying the children on your continent. Isak, thank you. The viewers of Life Today in Australia and the United Kingdom, Canada and the U.S., and everywhere they're watching, I believe they're going to be putting their hand up toward God, and so I'm going to be an answer to that heart cry. I want to rescue those children. I saw that little fellow reach out and take your finger. God wants him to take his hand. We are his hands. We're his body. I don't think they see him high and lifted up like they should, but they can. And we lift him up by expressing his love. We release the river of his love in life, and life springs up. I'm asking you to reach out and touch someone with love by dialing a number that you could always call if you want someone to pray with you. Many have already called today to say, I touched Jesus today. I'm getting help. Many have said, I'm giving my life to Christ today. But I'm asking you to reach out and touch someone with love and say, I want to make a gift. Did you know that with $100, we can feed 10 children for the next several months? Did you know with 50, we can feed 5? With 30, we can feed 3? I don't think there's a person watching that couldn't say, hey, I'll take 3 or 5. And I want you to know, I'm always going to ask you, if you can, put arms around 10 children or more. If you've been blessed of God where you could help several hundred children do it. Betty and I try to do that. We ask God to let us do that. And as we sought to bless others, and we are so blessed, we take such joy in blessing others and inspiring people to bless others. Would you do that? Would you move right now to the phone? Would you take your bank card and use it like a check? Please do it. If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can make that special gift right now. If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. Please do it. We want to send you an incredible teaching series, God's Kingdom in You, living in His presence in the present, seeing the power of God here now, not just waiting to go there to be with Him. When He comes in glory, it's wonderful. Let His glory come on us now and release His love. Would you do that? We want to send you a series that will mightily bless you. Please make that call. If you get a busy, you be persistent and determined, and you say, I'm going to get through to be an answer to someone's prayer and an answer to someone's need. You can be. Thank you for it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's Mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
I really am anxious to send you the incredible teaching material, God's Kingdom in You. It is His power, the weight of His presence, making an impact on everything on planet Earth. We want to be a blessing to you. I want to thank you so much for your help. I do want to remind you, Governor Rick Perry's book, Fed Up, Our Fight to Save America from Washington, and that's from excessive, out-of-control big government. It needs to be brought under control, and we really need to pray for our leaders. Pray for Governor Perry. Join me in just saying thanks so much to you, Governor.
Thank you, brother.
Our prayers are with you. God protect you in the time of God. Thank you so much for watching and sharing life today.
God said, no, I didn't call you to Los Angeles to be relevant. I've called you to be revolutionary.
Finding the one great thing you were made to do in this world, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.